Warning, this podcast contains questionable content of the more adult variety and may not be suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Don't say you haven't been warned.
Carla, put your pants back on. It's part two of our elections episode.
Like the second best part of the show because it's second. Welcome. It is Wednesday.
Or as that Vine says, it is Wednesday, my dudes.
I never saw that Vine. That reference is lost on me.
It's okay. Some people will get it.
Okay.
They're my friends. They're my true friends.
Oh, I see how this works. Vines aren't even relevant anymore, Michael. Speaking of which.
But they're so good.
I'm Carla.
I'm Michael.
And this is Go Postal Podcast, the podcast not about vines. It is a grab bag of fun. So today for you, we have our theme of elections. So we're going to have some hysterical history. Michael's going to have some election fun for you and a movie review because the Countess might be dead. I'm kind of worried about her.
I'm not sure what's going on with the Countess, but I think she might still be fornicating. I don't know. I haven't heard from her, but we'll see what happens. Something in my gut tells me that she'll be back, but she's just having a rough go of it right now, I think.
Fair enough. She's taking time for self-care, which is important.
She needs it. I mean, she is like 1,000 years old, so.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Well, should we get down to our theme music?
Yes. I'm dumb dumb. I'm running for office. That's all I hear. Thank God I don't have TV, so I don't watch election stuff. All right. Well, Michael, today, what do you have for me about elections?
Ooh, I just have some crazy election facts from around the world.
Ooh, I'm excited.
I got most of these from Mental Floss, but I looked a little further into them and made them my own. So I'm not just pulling it directly from there. So first, with how large India is, more than 800 million voters, it can turn into a weeks-long affair, sometimes even months. Their last election in 2014 saw voters casting their ballots for 543 members of parliament and was broken up into 9 different parts. That's 9 different election days over 5 weeks.
That sounds miserable.
Exhausting.
Yeah. I think they really need to work on this system. Okay. I was thinking about this today. Like, we have how many people in the House? Is it 500 or so?
I don't.
400? Oh,
yeah,
God.
Something like that. It's a weird number. It's not an even number.
But it's based on population.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Senate is 100 because it's 2 representatives from every state. But in England or in the UK, they have 600 members of parliament.
Holy fuck.
Think about how small England is compared to the States. So they have a lot more opportunity for more local representation at the national level. And it's the same way in Germany. But for as large as India is, you think 500 members of, you said it was parliament there?
Yeah.
Members of parliament. That's not that many considering the size of the place.
For fucking India, no.
For 1 billion people, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that's bananas.
I hope they all get voter guides too, because I would not be able to remember who I was going to vote for.
Oh my gosh. So wait, do they vote on every single member of parliament?
That's kind of what it sounded like. If it goes on for 9 different election days, or maybe they just need 9 election days for everyone to get through and vote. I'm not
that would make sense. That would make a lot more sense.
Anyway, moving south from India, voting is required by law in Australia. Everyone over 18 is not only required to by law to register, but to vote in federal elections. Those who refuse to vote are fined $20. Dodging the fine could land you with a $180 ticket and further criminal prosecution.
How do you feel about being required to vote?
I don't know. It's kind of like it's your duty to vote, but at the same time, if you don't want to, that I guess is also your right, but I don't know.
I feel like everybody should vote. I think democracy would work a lot better.
I think so too.
And people like our current government would not be getting elected. No. But also, if you didn't want to vote, all you would have to do is, like, they could have a box at the bottom of everything saying, I decline to answer, or NA, or something, you know, like.
Yeah, for sure. At least, like, go through the motions.
Yeah, make it a habit. Yeah. But, yeah. Anyway, that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. In Gambia, citizens vote with marbles. In an effort to get the illiterate population to vote in Gambia, drums are set up with a candidate's photo, and each person will drop their marble into whichever candidate they choose. They even have an anti-cheating system in place. Every drum has a bell that rings whenever a marble is placed in the drum, so if a drum rings twice, the citizen is caught red-handed.
Ba-ba-bum!
Ha-ha! It's like so rudimentary that it's almost better than what America does.
I mean, let's face it, you can't have any hanging chads or ballot boxes that crash on you or lose voter info. So,
yeah, less room for error there.
Yeah. You can't lose your marbles.
You can't lose your marbles unless you do. They get a rusty drum. New Zealand takes election day reporting very seriously. No one is allowed to report on anything that could possibly influence the vote on election day. So even including a candidate's outfit, doing so could result in a $14,000 fine.
Oh my God, they would have a field day here if that passed, because that would be like, all right, free speech.
It makes sense though, like, I don't know. Just like let the people vote, and then once the polls are closed, then you can start reporting on it.
Right.
I think Paris just, or France just did the same thing after they saw what happened in the States. They kind of had a moratorium on political broadcasting or something. Anyway.
Well, hey, at least someone else is learning from our mistakes if we can't.
Yeah, no shit. Voting in space is a thing. The future is now.
What?
Astronauts may cast their ballots from space using secure ballots that are sent back down to mission control and counted. Kind of like how I voted from Canada.
Yeah. That's awesome. That is so cool.
Yeah. So even if they're up on the ISS, they can still vote and have their voice heard.
I was listening to NPR the other day, and this astronaut was on, and he was, I think, on the International Space Station, and he was with some Russians. And this was during the whole 2016 election debacle of did Russia influence it and Trump getting close with Putin. And he was saying, like, yeah, there was no grudges or anything between us and the Russians. Like, we talked about it as if we weren't even citizens of those countries. We just talked about it like as a conversation piece, which I found really fascinating.
Yeah. Level-headed scientists, man.
Gosh. We just don't trust them. It's fine.
No.
Science. No. Who needs it?
No one. I was trying to think of a segue into this next one, but I couldn't think of anything. So segue
into the segue.
Segue into my segue of the last thing. So finally, when Liechtenstein has an election, they also get to vote on anyone who is applying for citizenship. Because it's such a small country, it totally makes sense. But holy crap, that is a lot of pressure after having to have lived there for at least 10 years just to apply for citizenship and then be voted on by the entire population.
Oh my gosh. That's bananas.
Yeah. I mean, it's only a population of 37,000 people, but still it's like...
Still, yeah. Like, I don't want that kind of notoriety. I'm like, just let me be, let me live my life peacefully. I don't want my name on ballots. But like, what if you like really pissed someone off, or like, you know, you're in a knitting circle or something, and you just said that one thing about Deborah, and then Deborah found out, and now the whole knitting circle hates you, and you don't get citizenship because of it.
And they launch a campaign against anti-you citizenship.
That's so ridiculous.
But it's Liechtenstein, so they're probably much, they're probably more fair than
probably.
That.
They're like, not a kitty toucher or a mass murderer. They're fine.
Yeah. That's it on my end here. So I hope you enjoyed it.
That was really cool. I did enjoy that. Thank you.
Huzzah.
Yay.
Welcome to Point Blank, True Crime Podcast. This podcast will cover stories on murder, disappearances, mass shootings, mysteries, and all things true crime. If you're interested in listening, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for listening. Now back to your scheduled program.
You know what that means, Michael.
It's time for...
Hysterical History.
I was waiting for the scream.
I know, I was too. I'm like, I kind of miss our spooky music. It was fun. I really did enjoy October a lot.
It was, yeah.
But alas, it can't be Halloween all year long, as but it should be, but it's not. Well, this week I have a really cool bit of hysterical history. I am going to tell you how JFK won the election of 1960. This would be John F. Kennedy, for all of you who don't know who JFK is. And if you don't, I'm very sad. Oh my gosh, this is such a crazy election. And I learned a lot of stuff. Basically, JFK got elected because – okay. So background of John F. Kennedy, his dad was kind – he had ties with the mob. He was a bit of a – he wasn't a great guy. And he essentially bought his children's way into politics. So, yeah. I'll continue with how that got JFK elected. So supposedly, and this is at the primaries, Frank Sinatra served as a liaison between JFK's 1960 campaign for president and mobster John Cana in a scheme to use the mafia to deliver union votes. So JFK's dad, Joseph P. Kennedy, wanted the mafia's help in delivering the union vote in West Virginia primary, in which JFK was a U.S. senator, faced Senator Hubert Humphrey of Minnesota. The elder Kennedy asked Frank Sinatra to make a request to then-Chicago crime boss Sam Giancana. Sinatra was approached because Kennedy knew because Kennedy knew that Sinatra had access to Sam Giancana. It would be in Jack Kennedy's best interest if his father did not make the correct contact directly, and Sinatra was on an errand, quote-unquote. Giancana told Sinatra he would do it, telling the singer, according to his daughter, it's just a couple of phone calls. Soon after Kennedy won the tight race for president, the deal brokered by Sinatra came back to haunt him when the Kennedy administration cracked down on the mafia, an effort led by Robert Kennedy, the president's brother and attorney general. I think we did mention this in our prison episode, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. I feel like we've talked about this before, though. Robert Kennedy, which, you know, also later was assassinated when he was made attorney general, was like, he was not corrupt at all. Like, he was actually a really, really good guy.
Uh-huh.
And so he wanted to, and it's ironic, though, because his dad had ties to the mob. So maybe there was like some daddy issues going on.
I'm pretty sure there were.
Yeah. So Sinatra had to like make good on his promise. Sam Giancana was saying, that's not right. You know, he owes me. He said, meaning JFK and cracking down on the mob. And Sinatra said, no, I owe you. I asked for the favor. So Sinatra was like really putting himself in the middle of this. To repay the favor, Sinatra went to Chicago and played in Giancana's club, the Villa Venice. Sinatra brought the Rat Packers, Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin with him and played two shows for 8 straight nights. So you can imagine Sinatra back in the 60s, like that was a big deal. And especially with Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin. So
yeah,
that's how he made good. So that's how JFK made it onto the main ballot from the primaries. So in the main election of 1960, it was JFK versus Nixon. And the popular vote was the closest of the 20th century, with Kennedy defeating Nixon by only about 100,000 votes. Less than 2.2% difference. Because of that national spread and because Kennedy officially defeated Nixon by less than 1% in 5 states, Hawaii, Illinois, Missouri, New Jersey, and New Mexico, and less than 2% in Texas, many Republicans obviously cried foul. So they fixated on 2 places, one being Texas and then Chicago, where they call this political machine led by Mayor Richard Daley in Chicago, allegedly turned out just enough votes to give Kennedy the state of Illinois. Now, if Nixon had won Texas and Illinois, he would have had the Electoral College majority. So you can see why, because it was like, I think 9,000 in Chicago and something like 15,000 in Texas was all the difference. And there's other rumors that in Chicago, or not Chicago, but in Illinois in general, and I think Ohio, some ballot boxes went missing. And there's theories that that had to do with ties to the mob as well. And in heavily red areas. So obviously they wouldn't go missing in Chicago because that's a pretty blue area. So again, it's that political machine of Mayor Richard Daley who was really in with the unions as well, which probably also meant if so, we're talking the mob boss. Giancana, if he has ties to the unions in West Virginia and he's like, oh, it's just a phone call and there's all these unions in Chicago, I mean, you can see how that all kind of ties together. So there was potentially some election rigging going on to get JFK in. But another reason that JFK probably won, the other thing is, that was the first year that an election or that the presidential debate was aired on television.
Oh, I remember this.
Uh-huh. So here's where toxic masculinity basically kept Nixon from getting elected, because JFK was willing. First of all, he's a good looking guy anyway. And Nixon's just not. But JFK was willing to put on makeup. So that because the studio lights are incredibly hot, or at least they were back then. So they had these bright studio lights. And Nixon also was, I think, suffering from like the flu or a fever. And instead of canceling, he agreed to go on and do this debate anyway. But he refused to put makeup on. So he was sitting there like sweating profusely on television. And even though Nixon ideologically won the debate, everybody said that JFK won. So This is weird. If you listen to it on the radio, everybody would say that Nixon won. Everybody that watched on TV said JFK won. So that was a massive reason that JFK pulled ahead eventually to defeat Nixon. So yeah, I didn't realize how crazy this election was with the whole Sinatra thing and the mafia. And, you know, I'd heard ballot boxes had gone missing, but I didn't realize to what extent the whole thing was rigged. And yeah, so it's pretty wild.
There was also a story I remember hearing in history in high school about JFK published a book during his campaign, and his father bought up so many copies of it that it pushed it onto the bestseller list, which then further like elevated him to the public eye.
Oh my God. It's that whole thing. Like his dad was seriously, he made his life and money as a career criminal, basically.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Even if it was on the fringes of the mob, I mean, it was still, he had those connections.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really weird to think that because JFK is seen as such a shining presidential example.
Right. Well, that's because he was assassinated.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. When in reality, LBJ, not that LBJ was some golden child, but he is the one that did bring about the Civil Rights Amendment.
Oh my gosh. LBJ was actually like a really good president. I think he was just terribly unpopular, unfortunately. But and he's, I think, what did he call it? The Vietnam War was the bitch of a war or something, or like his bitch goddess or something. As like, he's like, there's this awful thing that I don't even want because I want to focus on domestic policy. Under LBJ, he tried implementing, I think, socialized healthcare.
Yes, he did. He tried.
It failed because of the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
So.
But we got the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Yes. I think it was 1964, which is a cornerstone of America today. So.
It really is. And
thank you.
The other thing about JFK and his, what really set him apart, not only was he the first Catholic president, to me that's neither here nor there, but you know, he screwed up phenomenally on the Bay of Pigs in Cuba, like really, really badly. But he went on air and apologized for it to the American people. So, him showing that humility really like boosted his approval rating for people to be like, instead of just denying it or trying to cover it up, you know, he was honest about it, which is really like, come on, people, take notes. Sometimes all it takes is an apology. But then he had the Cuban Missile Crisis, which is the closest really the world has ever come to nuclear war. And he handled that really, really, really well. So Bay of Pigs, the disaster and the apology, and then Cuban Missile Crisis. So he was a good president overall, but you know, obviously his time was cut really short.
Not the best president we've ever had. Well, that's fascinating. Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
JFK is just like endlessly fascinating. Like all the conspiracy theories about his assassination, right, all the Jackie O stuff, and just the Kennedy family is insane.
Yeah. Well, and then you also have all the parallels between JFK and Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
Really bizarre parallels.
Crazy bizarre parallels. Maybe we should turn that into another episode.
the Lincoln and JFK connection.
Sold. I'm there.
All right.
Getting off. junkie that's looking for a different perspective?
Have you ever read about a famous case and wondered how it was possible that a defendant got acquitted?
Are you interested in criminal justice reform?
Do you often find yourself making extraordinarily inappropriate jokes while swearing like a sailor?
Then the Getting Off podcast is for you.
Hosted by us.
Two real live criminal defense attorneys.
Getting Off explains the legal reasons behind outcomes in famous trials and tackles tough topics in the world of crime and criminal justice.
We use firsthand sources like trial transcripts, police reports, crime scene photographs, and appeals briefs to give you the information that the public rarely hears about when it comes to the criminal justice system.
Our podcast isn't about carefully crafted musical interludes or obsessively edited narratives.
Instead, it is a no-holds-barred, unedited, raw legal presentation by two lawyers that have spent over a decade each in the trenches.
Previously covered cases include Casey Anthony, Michael Peterson, Jody Arias, and more.
Subscribe to the Getting Off podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Do that to get off now.
You want to hear a movie review?
I do. Since the goddess can't, or the goddess, oh my god.
She is our goddess.
She is our bitch goddess. Yes. Since the countess can't be here with us, sadly. I still do love your movie reviews very much, and my movie list is ever growing. I actually went to the public library to find Wreck, and it wasn't there. It made me very sad.
Oh. They, like, just don't have it at all, or they didn't have it at your branch?
They didn't have it at my branch.
Oh.
Actually, the movie selection at my branch was awful, so.
So you just put things on hold, and they'll bring it to the branch for you.
Fair enough.
That's what they do here. I don't know if they do that in Tennessee.
People don't read here, Michael.
Crazy. Anyway. Still the theme music, even though it's not the Countess.
I love it. It's appropriate.
We gotta play it. So this week, I am reviewing one of my all-time favorite films that I feel like most people don't like or just don't know about. It's called 1776.
Oh.
And it's an American musical about the birth of America.
I have seen some of this. It is really long.
It is long, but it's so good. It features the cast of America's founding fathers singing about whether or not to gain independence from Britain, and definitely the most entertaining way to experience the sometimes dry history behind Congress's decision. It stars Mr. Feeny.
I was going to say, it has
Boy Meets World.
Yeah, it has Mr. Feeny from Boy Meets World.
This was actually his first big role, was as John Adams, and that's kind of been his claim to fame ever since. And that he kind of became typecast as John Adams after this, because they're like, you are John Adams. And he's like,
and now he's Mr. Feeny.
And now he's Mr. Feeny. But speaking of Nixon, there's actually a really funny story behind this movie and Nixon, because Nixon was president when this movie came out in 1972.
I should have come out in 1976. That would have been perfect.
What was that?
It should have come out in 1976. That would have been perfect.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Just say
it would have been.
Come on, guys. Propaganda, get on board.
Well, get this. One song in the movie that is also in the stage production offended Nixon so much. It's a song called Cool, Cool, Considerate Men that essentially just makes fun of Republicans and how they just shit on the lower class. And they're like, yeah, they're terrible, but they trust us, and we're going to keep exploiting them for that, even though we all think they're idiots. Nixon banned it from being released as part of the film in 1972.
What?
He explicitly told them to cut it, and they had to.
So can you hear it? Like, is it, if people perform this musical, is it back in?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, this is just in the movie. It wasn't in, they didn't cut it out of the live performance, but it's since been restored, and every DVD or Blu-ray version you can get now has
cool.
it back in it. But if you watch it, just know that the original audiences couldn't watch it because Nixon was a douche.
Can you say freedom of speech, Nixon? Like, how? That would not fly today. Shit. No way.
Oh, absolutely.
Well,
not.
Actually, I don't know. Under this government, it might.
Well, I just think of that one movie, that terrible movie with James Franco and Seth Rogen about North Korea.
Oh, yeah.
The Interview.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how they just like released it on their own or whatever. Anyway. Yeah. I know musicals aren't really a thing for everyone, but I fucking love it, even though David hates it. Mostly because the songs are so catchy, they get stuck in his head and he gets mad. But it is also one of the only musicals that has a 30-minute break in between songs. And I've heard stories that when it's performed live, the orchestra will take a 30-minute break and come back for the Act One finale.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's when they're all like debating in Congress and all this other stuff. But besides that, it's an interesting look, albeit massaged, into the writing of the Declaration of Independence and the debates thereafter. I give this patriotic musical comedy 5 snarky Benjamin Franklins out of 5. Because what makes me feel more patriotic than a musical? Nothing. That's what.
I like it. I'm not the biggest fan of it. I got kind of bored, I'll be honest. But it is pretty good. I watched it on the 4th of July because my friend always said that that was a tradition she always had. So I'm like, okay, I'll check it out. And it is a
it's probably the only 4th of July tradition.
It's a, I like blowing shit up. So legally with fireworks, not with fireworks.
Right.
Blowing up fireworks. Don't put me on a list. Whoever is listening. No, I really love setting off fireworks. It's always been my jam. So I don't know. Someone's like,
Halloween fireworks here are a huge thing. They've been going off for like the past 2 weeks.
Get on board, America. I want Halloween fireworks. Well, and like the UK just celebrated Guy Fawkes Day. Remember the 5th of November? And that's their big fireworks celebration. So that's bonfire night. Mm-hmm. And they always have fireworks and a giant bonfire. It's so cool.
Which is why I think Halloween is such a fireworks night here, because it's so British here. I think it just carried over.
Uh-huh.
But moved, like migrated to Halloween rather than
Guy Fawkes Day.
November 5th. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. You have a new random question of the week this week.
I do. If you could elect any person for president or benevolent dictator, dead or alive, who would it be?
Ooh.
Do you have any suggestions?
Hmm.
It's funny. I always ask these questions and then I never have an answer for them except for a skeleton one.
Well, dead or alive, it's just that's such a range of people to choose from that I feel like I need to think about it.
Right. And maybe I should stipulate no former presidents.
Yeah, no former presidents. You can't say Abraham Lincoln again.
Right. Like, I would go and choose FDR again, but...
Right.
Or Barack Obama.
Yeah. 100%. Michelle Obama!
And obviously, like, we couldn't have Einstein because he's not a citizen. Like, he was a citizen, but he wasn't born here. So technically, right. He can run.
Oh. Yeah. That's good. So they have to be American-born.
Ooh.
Okay.
I mean, but if it's benevolent dictator, it could be anybody. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll leave it open.
Okay.
I might go with someone like Einstein, but Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Oh, Bill Nye.
Yes.
Ooh, I would say Neil deGrasse.
Yes, Tyson. That was gonna be my other thought. Oh, yes.
Some beautiful, wonderful, smart scientist.
Yes. I love it.
Not that I think Neil deGrasse Tyson is hot. He's just beautiful for his amazing
his
knowledge.
His brain is beautiful. Like, I want to take it out of his head and massage it and then keep it on display forever. Actually, it's probably better in his head. We'll leave it there.
Yeah. Well, yes, let's leave it there for now. So tell these wonderful people where they can write their answers or crazy stories.
Okay, you guys. If you have any theme ideas or you have a story, we will base an entire episode around your story and create a theme. So you can write to us at Go Postal Podcast, P.O. Box 198514, Nashville, Tennessee, 37219. Or you can email us at gopostalpodcast@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Go Postal Podcast. Twitter is the preferred way to get in touch with us. But if you don't like Twitter, you can go on Instagram. You can go on Facebook. We're still there.
Yeah, we'll answer. I get notifications. They pop up. It's annoying, but they still pop up.
They're still there. Well,
they're still there.
We hope we made elections fun for you again, even though we just went through a crazy one. But until next time, auf Wiedersehen.
Ciao.